am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and joining us, as always, is Jamie Jors and John Rahar of our fan blog, Eat More Cheese. We are joined, as always, by the best and brightest from around the Packers blogosphere. Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Joining us later tonight will be the host of NFL Live on ESPN, Mr. Trey Wingo, to talk about the Packers, pursuit of perfection, and all things NFL. But right now, it's time for the second belated edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Your NFL MVP.
Clay Matthews.
CM3 taking it to the house.
Donald Double D Driver.
Thank you for the old man's two touchdowns.
And we got the bad. We got Marshall Newhouse.
Getting owned by Pierre Paul.
Morgan Burnett.
Tackling.
Charlie Peppra.
Tackling.
And then we got the ugly. We got six drop passes.
Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six. Unacceptable, gentlemen. Unacceptable. What do you think about that, Corey Banky?
All I have to say about that game was 58 seconds.
58 seconds and a timeout. How do you leave 58 seconds and a timeout for Aaron Rodgers to get a field goal? I almost understand it if you're like, okay, he needs to drive for a touchdown. We can leave him 58 seconds and a timeout. But you're going to leave him 58 seconds and a timeout? When all he needs is a field goal to win the game, not even to get to overtime. I mean, the man right there in that drive, Aaron Rodgers threw the dagger in the NFL MVP race. That was it. That drive was the dagger. Game over. Dagger. Give it to him. Do you not agree?
Yeah, in that was like 58 seconds you talking. So that just proves like Aaron talking.
That's how long it takes.
Aaron Rodgers scoring a field goal.
That's how long it takes for Rodgers to win a game.
I was with my girlfriend in the stands, and we were in the second row. We were right on the Packers side. Right. I saw Clay Matthews intercept the ball in front of me, basically. I saw the two-point, and I saw Giants Stadium, I'm sorry, MetLife Stadium, erupting was amazing. It was, because...
Oh, it was great.
It's just funny how Packer fans, I'm sure, were, like, quaking in their boots. I was not.
I wasn't either.
I wasn't. I'm like, oh, okay, so what? They tied.
Yeah.
And look at the clock, and we'll probably get the coin toss. I mean, I was like a touch, I had a little anxiety. Not as much as anxiety as I have before I do the show, but I had a little bit of anxiety. But it was very magical to see that. I actually felt good for Giants fans because they
had hope.
I wanted us to kick their butt, and so everybody would leave, and then we could just go
home celebrate.
And have traffic, not have traffic issues. But it didn't happen, so... It was an amazing game. It might go down as the best game of the regular season.
Very possibly. Very possibly. When you look at the remaining records of the teams that we have to play, what they're up against, I think the Packers are going to be, obviously the Packers are going to be favored. You got to think they're going to win most of those games handily, although the Bears could give them some trouble.
And there were a couple things I noticed, like as, you know how like every time we do the show and I go to a game, and you were at the game, too.
I was.
You were in the press box. So there's a whole different thing you see in the press box or
crazy.
High up,
yeah,
right?
It was crazy.
So two things stuck with me. There was one where the Giants got a first down for Ballard.
Right.
It was like, it shouldn't have happened.
Right.
Eli literally hiked the ball, looked straight at Ballard, waited until he made his route,
right.
And threw it. And it's like, if we would have had Nick Collins, that would have been intercepted.
Right.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind, if we had a safety...
Ball hawk
and not safety. That we don't have good safeties, right? It's just like our safeties don't understand. They're not like they can't throw their homework away,
right?
They can't just play the game and throw their homework away. And had they looked at Eli, because Eli doesn't look anybody off,
right?
He doesn't even look that way before he's going to throw like that way.
Very often, it's interesting. You mentioned the press box and looking up on the first touchdown. I think he did look somebody off just because he was instructed to. Like, it was part of the play where he saw he had a safety over the top to his left, and he held the safety there, and then he came back to the right because he had the tight end on Peppra. But it was clear that that was by design, that it's something they had seen on film. They knew that if they split the tight end out over there, they would get Peppra, or Burnett, really, either one of the safeties, matched up one-on-one. And if you look across the board at the breakdowns, the big plays they're giving up, it's happening in two areas. It's happening at the safety level, and it's happening when Tremont Williams has to play the deep post. Both times Williams, both halves, one each half, Tremont gave up a big post play. And on both plays, it looks like he's expecting help to the inside.
Well,
and
but
both
Leroy
times, it does.
Speaking of Tremont, Leroy
right.
Butler in his videos,
right.
kind of on both on five things, and also
right.
he pointed out in the X and O's, it's both, right?
Yeah.
It's him turning his hips, and
yeah.
it's a little bit of understanding what he has, but also it's also the play design. Like
yeah.
he talks about the play design
Absolutely.
And how. You know, there's help over here, but there might not be help over here. And Tremont just has to know based on that receiver and
right.
what they're going to do. So the second play
yeah.
was the throw to Jordy Nelson.
Oh, my goodness.
And actually, Leroy Butler said something about this, too. He said he had Usu Yumanyora in his face, like literally up like
yep.
this. And he's on his back right foot.
Right.
And from my vantage point, I basically had, like, not Aaron Rodgers' POV.
What he saw. Right,
but
right.
I'm behind him. So he's here, and I'm, like, behind him. Dude, he literally like chucks. It looks like he chucks
it, looks
it
like
up
he
for
just
Jesus.
Chucks it up, right.
Like it's seriously. And then you look at it on the on TV,
yeah.
and it like it's laser
perfect
accuracy.
Point.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. It is. It's one of those throws that he. I've written about it all year. It's one of those throws that he makes look effortless. That is ridiculously hard to make, and he just does it like it's nothing. Like he's just tossing the ball in the backyard. It's like you said. It looks like he's just chucking it up. But it's perfect placement. It's over Jordy's shoulder, over the where the defensive back has no chance to get it. And of course, an amazing catch by Jordy Nelson. Let's not
yeah.
let's not belittle the catch because goodness gracious,
you know,
it was amazing.
Speaking of the drop passes, again.
Yes.
Everybody wants to talk about the drop passes and the drop passes and Finley. Okay. What was funny? Okay. I love
okay,
Butler's
well,
video. Not to go back to Butler's
right,
video.
But the drop passes are one thing. The drop passes by Finley, that's something entirely different. You give me your take,
but
I'll give you my take.
I said this before.
Right.
I say, and I'll say it now.
All right.
You need to pay him. You need to pay him. Okay?
Oh, I'm
pay
sorry.
Him.
Hey, you'll be
you
happy
can
to
use
hear.
My stock money. I know that'll pay him for the hour before the game.
Right.
A one
okay.
game.
I like that. I
okay?
Like that.
Pay him.
I like it. Now, you'll be happy to learn that I'm starting to agree with you on the you have to pay him mantra. Now, here's the thing what I don't understand about Packer fans. Well, actually, I do kind of understand it. Is that everyone gets so frustrated with his drops. I get frustrated with his drops. We all get frustrated with JerMichael Finley's drops. But the man is so beyond everybody else at the position, like as a physical talent. I know Gronkowski is doing amazing things in New England. I know Antonio Gates kind of on the starting to look like he's on the backslide of his career. I know Davis in San Francisco is an amazing talent, but JerMichael Finley is unlike anybody else in the way that Mike McCarthy uses him and Aaron Rodgers uses him in motion to set what he thinks the defense is going to be doing, whether it's man or zone, who they're keying on. There are so many plays week in and week out where JerMichael Finley dictates the coverage. And you could really see that from the press box. You could really see it from the bird's eye view. Every play where Rodgers goes back to pass, on almost every one, first of all, the Giants were absolutely mugging Finley.
Oh,
all
my goodness.
Day.
No, and Giants fans, these
mugging.
Giants fans behind me, every time. Okay,
oh,
you, everybody knows.
Oh, no.
Okay. As soon as I saw my favorite NFL ref of all time on the field.
Oh, dear, yes.
About had a heart attack.
Mr. Jeff Triplett in the
house.
Oh,
my goodness. And then he straight up, like, gifted the Packers all day. But to Giants fans,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like every single play
right.
was like, oh, just give it to him.
Yeah,
I remember
yeah.
there was a game at Lambeau Field that kind of felt the same. And I
right.
can't remember who we played right now.
Yep,
but it was like we just... It was like everything we could do. But you look back at the game, and actually the calls were pretty much right.
He made the calls right.
Here's the
thing. Like there's two things that Giants fans want to you know, talk junk about all week, is the Bauer touchdown that wasn't, which you cannot say conclusively that his knee is hitting. Everyone wants to say in New York that his knee is on the ground, clearly. No, you cannot say that clearly. If you compress the image and put it at, like, as clear as an image as you can make it, there's nowhere on earth that you can tell whether it's shadow or whether it's the
end zone that his knee is touching down on. And second of all, the other thing that they're going nuts over is the Greg Jennings touchdown, which was called correctly. It's not part of the Calvin Johnson rule because he never went down to the ground. And it's actually called the way football has always been called and should be called in spite of the Calvin Johnson rule, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
In that he has control of the ball. He's holding it for two steps and then it comes loose. The second he's holding it in the end zone and has control, that's a touchdown.
That should, that's.
That's a touchdown. That's football.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid how they do it now.
Oh,
it's like it's, you have to have 2 feet in and you have to give your grandmother cake and then you have to wave to the crowd and spike the ball and then you get a touchdown.
And then it's a touchdown. Yes, the lawyers have taken over. That is for darn sure.
So stupid. I thought it was the ball crosses the plane and that's a touchdown.
It used to be. Yeah, that used to be the case, but not so much anymore.
It's dumb.
Well, let's get to some news today from the world of the Green Bay Packers. We've got Charles Woodson cleared to play.
Nice.
Which is a good thing. He's going to get to face his old team. Woodson obviously suffered a concussion, missed the end of the Giants game, was limited in practice yesterday, was cleared for practice today. It will play, McCarthy said, on Sunday against the Raiders. However, James Starks did not practice again today. Is, I guess you could say, questionable to play on Sunday. McCarthy indicating that unless he practices tomorrow, he will not play. So,
hey, Nagler.
Yo.
Guess what?
What?
The Packers are in the playoffs!
The Packers are in the playoffs, and they have clinched the NFC North.
Oh, yeah. What, the NFC North?
They did that all in one day. They got in the playoffs and clinched the NFC North by
how
the end of
Sunday. How many games have they
played? What are they?
12?
12-0 now?
Wow.
Not too shabby. But here's the thing, though. The pressure's still on because San Francisco is breathing right down their neck for home field advantage.
Not afraid of San Francisco?
I'm not afraid of them on the field, but I'm afraid of them getting home field advantage.
No.
You don't want that. You don't want to go out west.
I'll go to San Fran.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? Guess what?
Road warrior.
Ooh. We went to Atlanta.
Yep.
We went to Philadelphia.
Yep.
And we went to Chicago.
Yeah.
And we kicked all of their butts.
This is true. It's true. Oh, and then we went to Dallas. And then it was over. Game over, as it were. Mm. So, yeah.
We also didn't talk about the stock sale.
The stock sale, yes, of course.
I got my three stocks.
You got three shares, huh?
Yep.
Not too shabby.
One for my niece, one for my nephew. My niece is 7 months. I wish somebody would have bought me stock when I was 7 months. And one for myself, because I am now officially like Steve the owner. I can get my cheese head.
Put owner
on the side.
Very nice, very nice.
I wonder how many people are going to do that now. Maybe Steve's going to lose his
It's going to be a sea of people with owner on the side.
He's not going to be the owner anymore.
He'll always be the owner. He'll always be Steve the owner. It's who he is. It's
well,
like his identity.
He does have the Twitter handle.
Exactly. Just really quickly, if you haven't checked out my blog post today on haters regarding the stock sale, because haters got to hate, check out, I have a response to the critics. A lot of people saying that there's one of two criticisms out there, really. One is that people don't know that it's worthless. Excuse me, Packer fans know that it's worthless in the monetary sense. But you cannot put a price on our emotional attachment to the Green Bay Packers. No. And if you say that, oh, that's silly, or you don't understand.
I mean,
be quiet. You don't understand.
You don't. And the other thing is that we've been saying this forever. Yes, duh. We know it's worthless. Okay, we're not stupid. We get it. It's a piece of paper.
We try and say it a little more eloquently than
you
that.
You know what? People pay. There are lots of pieces of paper running around in the world that are more than $250, okay?
It's true.
And you know what? The other thing is, when I die, before I die or after, I bet my stock is worth some money. I bet it is.
And then whoever is in possession of it can sell it on eBay. All right, we need to take a break.
What?
We do. Well, we started late. We started late. But when we come back, we'll have an extra long second segment. We're going to talk to Trey Wingo from ESPN, host of NFL Live. We're going to talk about the upcoming matchup with the Raiders and cover all the things going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. So stick with us here, CheeseheadTV.com, Packer Transplants Live. Do you think McCarthy kind of goes the other way this time? Decides, you know, maybe a little more caution with Rodgers, or do you think he kind of sticks with his philosophy of go for it?
You know, I would love to see him go for it. And you know, Teddy Bruschi and I talk about this all the time because obviously they went through it in 2007. And, you know, his thing was, if you had a chance, finish it.
Right.
You know, go for it. Go, because 16-0, like, it doesn't mean what it once was did because the Patriots did it. But 19-0 is still out there. And the only way to get to 19-0 is to make sure you start 16-0. And,
right.
And I think that's the Packers. Is, look, 16-0 is whatever, but what we really would like to do is be the only team to ever do this. So the only way we can do that is to make sure we take care of the first
part. I totally agree with that. And I really hope he does it for the reasons you're stating. I think most Packer fans feel that way. Looking at the NFL and at the NFC in general, who do you think the Packers' greatest competition is heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, everybody talks about the Saints, and I guess, you know, we saw the shootout that happened week one up at Lambeau on that Thursday night, but that 49ers team is very interesting to me because they're very, Mark Schlereth has a great word for it, portable, you know? I mean, they play great defense, they can run the ball. Cold weather in January, I'd really like to see that matchup. I mean, look, even the Packers' offense is probably going to slow down a little bit in the offseason. We saw that in the NFC Championship game a year ago when, you know, it was a cold day at Soldier Field. And they didn't march up and down the field for the entire game, and they did have the one costly turnover, the interception with Urlacher that sort of turned the momentum in that game. But, you know, that cold weather is going to shrink that field for everybody a little bit, and I'd really like to see if it shrinks it enough for the Niners to have a run at Green Bay.
Who do you think comes out of the AFC to potentially, hopefully at that point, knock off a 18-0 Packers team?
It's interesting. You know, earlier today we were talking about that on the show with Mark and Teddy, and I really think the Steelers are, but we're watching the game right now, and Ben just went down and sort of twisted his knee, and he's out of the game right now, so I'm curious to see what happens with his health. But, you know, the Patriots are great, but they've lost three straight playoff games. They got to prove to me they can win a game in the postseason before I want to put a lot of stock in them. And the Ravens, while they've beaten the Steelers twice, you know, Joe Flacco's been so inconsistent. Ben is by far the most consistent playoff performer from the quarterback perspective in the AFC in recent memory. So, you know, as long as he's healthy, and we'll try and find that out, but if he's healthy and the Steelers are there, I think we could be looking at a Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying kind of through half the year. I mean, the Patriots and the Packers are my preseason pick, but I really didn't expect the Patriots' defense just to be so porous, I guess.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, I'm curious, you know, we were just talking about this with the Saints and the Packers' offense. I'm curious to see on how that Patriots' offense plays in the postseason because Baltimore went in there a couple of years ago and was able to punch him in the mouth, and then in that divisional game with the Jets, the Jets got a big turnover, and that rhythmic moving the thing down the field offense, they don't have a stretch the field guy. They've got to stay on schedule, and if you can get them off schedule, which is hard to do, whether through penalties or a couple of great plays, if you can get them off schedule, it's not the same dynamic offense that you saw, say, week one or week two of the season.
Absolutely. Speaking of getting into the playoffs and making noise, what do you think of the Jets' chances? I mean, we live in New York City. You can't move for a Jets or a Giants fan, and Jets fans all of a sudden are getting their swagger back. Their coach has got his swagger back. Do you think they have a chance of sneaking in?
Well, I don't think Rex ever lost the swagger.
Yeah, good point.
I think that's a chromosome issue to begin with. For those of us that remember, you know, Buddy, very similar, his dad. But, look, the thing for the Jets is the schedule is favorable for them. And like, you know, we're talking about with these cold weather teams, they can start pounding the ball. They don't have to worry about Mark Sanchez throwing it all over the field. The thing for me that's going to determine the Jets is how the Titans and the Bengals play. Because right now the Bengals are the sixth seed. Now they finished playing the Steelers, they still have to play the Ravens one more time. And they're going to need to win a game. They're going to need to win a tough game. But right now they're on the outside. The Jets are on the outside looking in, and it's going to be up to one of those teams that's going to sort of falter. And I'm just curious to see whether or not Cincinnati can hold on to that spot. That, to me, is the biggest thing going forward, because I think if there's a team likely to fall, it's going to be them, and the Jets are probably going to capitalize on their mistakes more than anything else.
And switching over to the other New York team, what do you think of the Giants' chances? I mean, everyone's very impressed, obviously, with the way they took the Packers right down to the wire. If they can play that way, I think they have a really good chance of upending Dallas, but do you think they can sustain that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I hate to keep mentioning Teddy's name here, but we were talking about that too. It was very reminiscent of the 2007 game at the end of the regular season when the Patriots were going for 16-0. They played that game, you know, at the Meadowlands, and the final score was 38-35, just like it was Sunday at the new Meadowlands. And the Giants, even though they lost that game, they thought, hey, if this is the best of the best, we can hang with these guys. And I think that the Giants, even though they've lost four straight games, which sounds terrible, and it is bad, I think they feel better about themselves coming out of that game than the Cowboys did with a devastating loss where they just sort of botched it completely at the end. And, you know, I think the Giants are mentally stronger than the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think there's any question in my mind that the Cowboys have more talent. But I don't see Cowboys consistently putting it together and doing the little things, the smart things, to win football games. And that certainly was the case last Sunday in Arizona when their head coach, I mean, forget the timeout that I asked the kicker. Right. To not call a timeout when you have two left, a 26-second left to make sure everybody's on the same page. That was, to me, the egregious sin by the coaching staff in the first place. Not the timeout to call whatever with Dan Bailey, because I think that was just a complete snafu. But you had two of them. You had two timeouts. Use one to make sure you have a plan to do what you want to do so you won't have to run on the field and call that last timeout that ice your own kicker.
Speaking of the Cowboys, looking bigger picture and getting back to the Packers and how the Packers operate, we've had the stock sale this week, obviously, has been all in the news the last couple days. Do you think that other NFL owners feel resentful towards what the Packers are able to do, i.e., I guess you could say milk their fan base for, you know, a cool $43 million in 2 days?
Well, you know, I don't know how other owners feel about that. It's just such a unique situation, you know. I mean, if there was a whole one of our bloggers here, Kevin Seifert, who does the NFC North stuff for us, you know, was just sort of going back and forth with a bunch of people on Twitter about the whole stock sale and everything that entailed it. You know, I don't think anybody's buying that stock to be rich. You know, it's not like a Gordon Gekko deal. I think people buy that stock because they want to be part of something.
Right. Yeah.
And if NFL owners are upset that people want to be a part of Green Bay, they should look at the model of Green Bay and why it's that way and why people want to be a part of it. That should be the only, if I'm an NFL owner and I'm thinking, how come I can't do that? Well, look at what the Packers have fostered. Look at the environment they created.
Well, that's something I wanted to touch on. When you look at somebody like Jerry Jones or Dan Snyder, and not Robert Kraft, but, like, you know, some of these bigger, you know, big market owners who have really, you know, they've been very successful making money from their NFL franchises, but they're continuously stuck in the same gear, never winning championships. What will it take for someone like Jerry Jones to cede authority when everybody knows he needs a real football man, even when he had Parcells running the deal? You know, he wouldn't get out of the way. Is it a case of, like, those guys are just, like, it's impossible for them to stop playing with their toys? Or do you think at some point they kind of get wise?
The problem is Jerry is a general manager, and he's any owner. You know, the only guy that's going to fire him as a general manager is him, and he's not going to do that. I mean, I think Jerry would be much better served if he had a real football guy running the operation. Yeah, Daniel Snyder is one of those guys who became a fan, got rich, or was a fan, became rich, and then got the team. You know, it's a tricky business because you can't, it's not just about winning. You also got to make money. It's not about making money. You also got to win. And right. You got to find a way to look like you're trying to do both at the same time. And that's why I think a lot of guys who have been very successful in businesses like Dan Snyder don't understand that there's two components to this, because you can make every compelling argument that it's a successful business for Daniel Snyder in Washington, but it's not a successful team. And that's the bottom line. What most people care about is they want a successful team. And, you know, the Packers have done a great job of figuring that out. The Steelers have done a great job of figuring it out. Robert Kraft has done a great job of figuring that out.
Yes.
You've got to find a way to separate the dollars and cents from the wins and the losses and find a way to make sure you're good at both.
To our listeners and viewers out there, I'm sorry we're having some issues with Skype. Trey, you're such an absolute gentleman and a scholar for joining us tonight. I can't thank you enough. I know you're working, you're watching football. God, that sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us.
I mean, those two together are not a bad thing, Aaron. And listen, anytime you get that Skype thing figured out, I'll be happy to come back on, because I had my app ready, baby. I had it downloaded and ready to roll.
All right, well, we're going to drag you into the 21st century. Trey Wingo, ESPN, host of NFL Live. Trey, thanks so much.
You got it, Aaron. Take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, Trey Wingo, intermittently, on our Skype channel. You can tell it's been a month, right? It's been a month. It's been a month, people. It's been a month.
Oh, man.
We thank Trey so much for coming on. Everybody who's downloading this later, hopefully I'll be able to cut that up so it's intelligible. Everybody who had to watch it live, listen live, I'm sorry.
But hey,
we only lost like seven people.
That's it. See, seven people were like, screw this.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Like that's awesome. That's awesome. Corey, how the hell are you?
I'm really good, actually.
Wingo. He's just chilling, talking to Patrick.
Trey Wingo, he's like, yeah, I'm watching the game. I can call some cheeseheads.
That's what we do. Ben Roethlisberger goes down.
Thank Lord.
Who knew?
I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
No, be nice.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Be nice.
No, I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
don't
sorry.
Be nice. Don't
I had
be
this.
Nice.
No, I had this conversation with the Steelers fan last week, exactly tonight.
Oh no.
My girlfriend is the stage manager for Book of Mormon. One of the cast members is a Steeler fan. And I'm like, that's like the worst team. And they were trying to make an argument that the Steelers historically are the best team in the NFL.
This happened
last
year.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you seriously making this argument right now? Okay, what's the smallest market in the NFL?
Oh, that'd be Green Bay.
What's one of the oldest teams in the NFL?
That'd be Green Bay.
And who's won more NFL championships than any other team in the NFL?
Oh, that'd be Green Bay.
So, what else do you have? Oh, your quarterback is a rapist. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Attempted rape. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Allegedly multiple times rapist.
Multiple times attempted rapist.
Oh, gosh. Good Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I need a drink in, like, the worst way. I need, like, five beers lined up. So, Corey Behnke, you think the Packers will get back on track on defense, or will they continue to give up 20, 30 points a game?
Who cares?
That's the correct answer.
Who cares?
That is the correct answer.
The only people that care are people like Trey Wingo, who, God bless him, he's got to keep his job.
He's got to
talk about something.
Right, right.
Okay? And Aaron Nagler's of the world, which they're getting less and less. If you look, we just cleaned up the Packer blogosphere.
Right, right.
Dude, like 15 blogs just died. They were just like, I can't beat Aaron Nagler, I'm going away, buddy.
I don't know about that.
Okay, and then who else? Oh, Packer fans that don't know any better. Packer fans that weren't here in the 80s or the 70s or the 50s, which I wasn't, or the 40s.
Right, right, right.
You know.
I hear you.
Everybody else is like, who cares?
This
you know
is
what's
awesome.
Great? This is awesome. You know what's great?
What's that?
Turnovers.
Yes,
this is
are.
What was great in 1996.
Yep.
This is what was great in 1997.
Yep.
This is what's great now.
Yep.
Because you know what? Turnovers can make adequate defenses look amazing.
Well, and hey, you don't have to look no further than, you know, the year the Saints won the Super Bowl. Their defense was shredded quite often, just like the present Packers' defense is. And they got a lot of turnovers. They were very opportunistic. They got to the Super Bowl and won it.
Dude,
coincidentally
and
enough, on a big turnover.
Here's the other thing. What were we saying about CM3 all year?
Right.
And guess who's turning on the burners?
Yes, he is.
Okay?
Yeah.
Dude, he almost had a safety in that game.
Yeah.
Before that drive started, I was going like this and doing my little Cleopatra dance.
Well, here's the
thing. Because I was ready for it. And he straight up slammed Eli Manning to the turf.
How great was the play?
Oh, it's awesome.
How great was the play where he smacked into Eli's arm just before he threw it, and everyone kind of just stood around. And B.J. Raji, thank goodness Raji picked up the ball, even though I don't think he did it. He just kind of did it because it was there, and okay, it's bouncing to me, I'll pick it up. If he doesn't do that, it's a dead ball, and the Giants keep it.
Mm.
So thank goodness. I mean, next time, B.J., buddy, run it. Go. Get in the end zone.
Do some refrigerator freezer dance.
Exactly. Teach me how to Raji.
No, but who cares? So what? Charles Woodson gets burned sometimes. So what? Tremont Williams gets burned sometimes.
I agree.
You know what?
I
Charlie
agree.
Pepper needs to step up. Morgan Burnett needs to step up. They don't
That's
know
right.
what they're doing back there necessarily because he just got thrown in because Nick Collins was injured. So you know what? I think those guys, Charlie Pepper has surprised me in a good way this year.
All right.
If you think about where he was last year.
Yeah.
Morgan Burnett.
If you think about Morgan Burnett, he's still playing. If you look at number of games, he's still playing his rookie season. You know, he only played in four games last year.
Yeah,
and now he's 12. So you know,
dude. And Randall Cobb
playing out the end of
Randall
his rookie
Cobb.
Season.
Come on, he's had a great season so far, considering he's a rookie.
Second round rookie. He's had a phenomenal
come
year.
Come on.
Well, here's the thing. Someone on Twitter the other day was asking, like, "Oh, how are they going to turn on the defense? How are they going to? And what are they going to do with the defense? And blah 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 blah." And I just said, Aaron Rodgers will just, you know, score 40 points a game.
Oh, wait a minute. No, the question should be...
But that's serious. I know people think I'm being flippant. I know you think I'm just like, oh, well, he'll just score 40 points a game. No. He'll just score 40 points a game.
No, the question on everybody's mind, okay,
yes,
should not be, what is the Packers defense going to do?
Right.
The question on everybody's mind should be, what is every other team's defense going to do to stop the freight train that is the Green Bay Packer offense?
Not too much, anyway.
There's nothing you can do. As soon as, Leroy Butler, I've come back to his videos.
Nothing wrong with that.
But he's brilliant.
Sage advice.
I wish that one day, I think that I would like to be the producer of a show that has Tom Silverstein, Aaron Nagler, and Leroy Butler.
Oh, God.
And I get to just do my little rants once in a while. and
now,
just like ask
here's
Leroy
Corey
some
with a
questions.
Rant.
It's like 60 minutes for Packer fans, except for I'm the Andy Rooney. Except for it's like a different way. Okay, dude,
I wish
that I could have my one day every Friday to sit down with Leroy, and you know what? Just talk about all the plays. And it's like, okay, so what he said, which now I'm going to forget because I got a little
excited.
The
defense, offense scoring 40 points a game.
No. He was talking about weapons and Finley, right? So he was talking about, why Finley's so
important.
Like, why he's so important.
Right.
Because the Giants have to double him and have to put a corner over the top just on Finley. And, of course, as soon as they do that, Jordy Nelson, here I am, you know?
Right.
As soon as I put two guys on Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, here I am. As soon as I put two guys on that, look at Old Man Driver against the Giants. They covered everybody but Donald Driver, which is a mistake. It's something you will pay for every time.
Here's the thing. A lot of Driver's catches came on those plays where, and the Giants had, Perry Fuel, the defensive coordinator afterwards, said that one of their game planning points was to rush only three and to drop eight into coverage, which they did on numerous occasions. The problem is that Donald Driver's really good at finding holes in the zone along the sideline.
CD says we shouldn't be so confident.
CD. Oh, wait, the soothsayer who said that McCarthy was never going to win a championship, the man who told us that Ted Thompson was doing it all wrong, the man who just has naysayed every step of the way right to Dallas and the Lombardi Trophy.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who's telling us we shouldn't be so confident?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to be confident, CD. Sorry, buddy. I gotta go there.
Okay, here's what I won't be confident.
No, wait, here's what I almost tweeted today, but then I had one of those moments where I'm like, wait, I'm trying to build a career. I shouldn't be so egotistical. I shouldn't be such a homer. Like, a lot. You know what? I should have tweeted it. I'm going to tweet it as soon as I'm done with this damn show. The Packers have two more away games. Two more. At Kansas City and at Indianapolis. Mark it zero.
Mm.
How do you like them apples? What do you think of that, CD?
Here's the problem.
What's that?
Okay. I don't know what there's
no there's
problem.
No problem.
I'm trying to think of a problem, but I can't think of one.
Well, I will admit.
You know what?
Two things.
No,
wait.
I will say.
Okay, you go right ahead.
Maste had one bad punt.
He had one bad punt, but here's the thing. NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, he had four punts down inside the 20, no return yardage for the Giants. Zero. Zero return yards for the Giants. And he had one just ridiculous punt that Jared Bush downed at the 1 yard line.
But he had another one after that was kind of bad, though.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just trying to find something wrong, Nagler. Okay?
Keep digging.
I'm digging to find the wrong. And the only thing people have wrong, they got to hate on Tremont. Which you know how I feel about
that. That's not true. I got something we can hate on. The coverage by the reserve middle linebackers, Francois and DJ Smith. Now,
but what
they
about
looked
the
a
coverage,
little fish out of water.
Then you need the coverage by CM3, though.
He dropped a whole lot that
the
game.
Fact that,
it was crazy.
The fact that our linebackers are even covering says a lot about the Green Bay Packers defense right now.
Well, the problem was is that every time they rushed them, DJ Smith kept leaving his feet or just like running right into blockers. Like, that boy needs to work on some pass rush moves. Holy cow, because it was ugly. Not that it was much better when he was in coverage. Francois actually played serviceably, but the whole defensive front was just disappointing as far as like, the defensive line getting manhandled. B.J. Raji had by far his best game of the year, and it was wasted by his defensive line mates basically not showing up. And Mike Neal, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Neal, I can do nothing but apologize to Packers fans. I spent all summer telling you what a difference Mike Neal was going to make. Hasn't been the case. Now, obviously, there's got to be something to do with the injury that kept him out most of the season up to this point. Because last year, in training camp, in the two games that he was in, he was a monster. He was running over guys. If you just go back and watch the tape of the Redskins game alone, he was destroying guys, ripping through through blocks, getting guys off of him, penetration into the backfield constantly. Now you look at the tape, through 3 weeks, he's done absolutely nothing. He had one good play. You know what the good play was? His first snap of the season. He got good push into the backfield. Since that play, maybe it was the adrenaline of he was finally getting to play. But since that play, he's done absolutely nothing. He's playing too high. He gets washed out, whether it's a pass or a run. Severe disappointment so far. Now, as Mike McCarthy pointed out this week in one of his press conferences, if you look at the number of snaps and what he's done and where he is on his recovery, he's basically at the end of training camp. So maybe, just maybe, we'll see a little something more from him this final month of the season. And I hope so, because he is supremely talented, and he should be creating a hell of a lot more havoc in the backfield than he has been to date.
I got something for you.
Bring it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
You like that?
This week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series, Corey Behnke. Well, as you said, people, if we've got one thing to talk about in regards to the Packers blogosphere, it's blog, write, create, do something. We're losing blogs left and right.
Nobody wants to be you anymore.
3 years ago, we had a vibrant community, and there are still lots of great Packer blogs out there. I mean, there's Jersey Al's.
Jersey Al, that's, and speaking of, I have to say something about Jersey
Al.
Yes,
please go ahead.
Jersey Al, thank you. You are the man. Had one of the best tailgates. Had brats, plenty of food, beer, lining Kugels. A lot of people came out. It was fun. It was a good time. He had a great spot lined up. Thaddeus was out there. We had Ray Roberts out there. Who else did we have out there? We had a ton of people out there. Dude, Jeff Berkovici showed up for you, and you weren't even there.
Did he?
We had Aaron Nagler in the press box, which pretty much is useless, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a good time.
It's a good time.
It's not totally useless. I got to ask Mike McCarthy two questions.
You got to be in the elevator with Ted Thompson.
I was in the elevator.
And he didn't know who you were.
Okay.
He was like, wait, are you that crazy Packer fan guy?
Yeah. Wait, couple press box stories that I have to tell. These are so great. And I have a couple more, Corey, I'll tell you after we get off air. But this one is just classic. I'm walking, I get set up. I'm all set up. I'm professional. I'm all set up. And I'm all ready to go. And there's an hour till the game. So I'm going to get up and get a drink. I'll get some coffee, you know. So I get up, and I go back to where they have the food. And they have a little dining area for people to sit and eat and watch the early games, whatever. I am dead serious. I tweeted about it at the time. I am not making this up. As I'm walking into the canteen area, Mark Murphy is just walking by like you do, and Kareem Copeland, the Green Bay Press Gazette, is inside getting like a hot dog or something. And Mark Murphy starts talking to him, kind of like bellowing to him, like giving him crap about the Detroit Lions, asking him where his Detroit gear is.
Yeah, because he wore that on throwback.
I lost it. I thought it was great. And I said, Mark, I'm glad to see he gets crap from right up top. It was great. And Mark smiled at me. And it was
and
great.
Then he looked at you and he realized, he was like, wait, that's Cheesehead TV. I banned them.
He said, why is Cheesehead TV?
I banned them from all Packer events. Why are they here right now?
No, but he was great. He gave, the CEO of the Packers gave Kareem Copeland crap about being a Lions fan. I mean, you can't get any better than that. It was fantastic.
You know what we haven't talked about before we go off the air?
What's that?
Aaron Rodgers calling you out.
Aaron Rodgers called me out. Yes, he did.
Which I think is really funny.
What's that about?
Because he calls you crazy Packer fan guy on Twitter.
Crazy Packer dude.
Whatever.
Now, let's just set the scene here for a second. He calls me crazy Packer dude in a response to me ripping on his taste in film. Because he tweeted that The American with George Clooney was a terrible film. And I said he needed to just stick the quarterbacking because The American is a fantastic film. Anton Corbin's second feature, beautifully shot, wonderfully acted, gorgeous cinematography.
Doesn't it have George Clooney in it?
It does have George Clooney.
So it's terrible.
Aaron, just relax. Throw the football. Just worry about someone else's
films. I agree with him.
And I know you do.
You know what? Anything Aaron Rodgers says...
you agree with?
Yes.
All right. That's good. So... Back to the Future 3 is the best of the trilogy?
Yes.
I rest my case. Anyway, so then Rogers is on Wildy's show, and as you probably all know, Wildy has his little Ask Aaron section where he solicits questions from the greater crowd.
It was
from
funny.
Twitter.
This is hilarious.
And I saw Princess Bride is Aaron's favorite movie, so I threw in a Princess Bride quote. And Wildy, God bless him, used it. And as I'm sure you all heard, Aaron called me out. Said he had a beef with me.
Which I don't know why. You wrote like two bad articles and every other one's good.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
and they're not bad. What's funny about the articles you wrote is he has said, you read that interview that you linked to.
Right.
And he says all those things. He had a high throw. He brought it down. Yeah. He had a high, he unlearned all the things he learned in college that were bad habits.
Right. Well, the stuff that Tom Clements maybe like drills into him. The most egregious thing I think I ever wrote was how he had to work on a three-step drop and I used a video that he didn't like, but I really don't think it's about that. I don't think it's about anything I've ever said about him as a player. I think it's about me ripping on his taste in film. But we'll find out when he's back on Twitter in the off-season. That's what he said. So I look forward to it.
Maybe you'll get credentialed. No, you won't.
If they're in the NFC Championship game, I'll be at that game, and there I'll be go. Credentialed.
Well, why didn't you ask Aaron any questions at the press conference?
I did, but I wasn't about to ask him about calling me out on Wildy's show.
Why couldn't you be like, I would have, see, this is when it takes balls, when we're doing the documentary, you know, and you're like Michael Moore,
right.
And you know that, like, look,
everyone's
you know
gonna
you're
hate
not
me.
Going to get credentialed for any of the other 15 games,
right?
So you're like, Aaron, do you know why you call me crazy Packer fan, dude? ESPN takes right at that moment.
Right.
That'd it would be,
great.
Be hilarious.
It'd be great. No. It's not about self-promotion. I'm not there to promote Cheesehead TV.
Yeah, but
I'm there to cover the Packers.
But if you did that,
yes,
I would elevate you to a higher status.
You would. Okay, well, now I know. Now I didn't know.
If that means anything to you.
It does. It means everything, Corey.
I'm just saying.
I'm more a Corey Behnke fan than I am a Packer fan, really.
I don't believe that.
If the last, 20 years have taught you nothing, that it should be that.
Don't believe it.
All right, we're babbling now. Cheesehead TV is in the house. Corey, any final words before we say sayonara to all these fine folks?
No, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Sorry for the high-pitched whine in the beginning that I finally fixed and we did the double do-over. And sorry for the Trey Wingo, but we came through
Skype,
within like 2 minutes.
Power. Everything goes
and,
wrong. We soldier through like we always do. We can't thank you guys enough. We cannot thank Trey Wingo enough for showing up for these two losers in New York doing a stupid show. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. You guys are why we do this for real. You guys join us even when we take a month off. You're still here. Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll be back soon. Can't promise next week. We live
yeah, I
want to
say,
lives.
Hold on. We got to say, Cheesehead Radio.
Cheesehead Radio.
Thank you. And you know what? It's my fault I moved it to Thursday because I'm still trying to make my Cheesehead TV virtual studio to compete with the Leroy Butler, Tom Silverstein videos that are not live, but I've got something in the works. It's really difficult, but thank you, Cheesehead Radio. I really appreciate it. Jersey Al, Jamie Jors, C.D. Angeli, who am I missing? Colleen,
John
Rahor, of course.
There you go.
And thank you.
Thanks. Thanks to everyone for joining us. We'll see you soon here at CheeseheadTV.com.